than what I usually do, because what we usually do is we usually take a scripture and we just go verse by verse through it. But today, instead of doing that, we're going to look at a lot of scripture today. But the main one that we're going to look at today is Isaiah chapter number 5. And we're going to preach on this topic today. It's called the Garden of the Lord. The Garden of the Lord. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I was preparing this message, this isn't one of those messages where we're probably going to run around and shout a little bit. All right, this is one of those to where it's more of a Bible study really than anything else. But I believe in all my heart that when you and I learn something new in the Bible, it makes our heart rejoice and it gives glory to God. And that's what we're all about here, is giving glory to God. So I pray today that if anything, that you would learn something in the Scripture today, and we would be closer to the Lord because of it. So Isaiah chapter number 5, we're going to read the first 7 verses here in Isaiah 5. Verse number 1, the prophet says this, and it's basically God speaking, and he says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been more done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes? And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof. It shall be eaten up and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant, and he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry." So that's where we'll stop this morning. Father, I pray that right now, that as we've taken Your Word, I pray that You would open the eyes of our understanding, Lord, that we might understand Your Word and You may get glory through it. So Father, I just pray that You draw us closer right now, and we'll give You all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I want to start out by asking you a question today that more than likely I already know the answer to. If I were to ask you, where would you rather live? In the big city or the country? Yeah. Because we're in Hardin, 99.9999% of you are going to say the country. Now, I ain't saying there's something wrong with living in the city, but I will say this, there is something to be said about the country. You see, when God created Adam and Eve, He didn't place them in a big old city, did He? He placed them in a perfect garden out in the middle of the perfect country. And you see, when Genesis chapter number 11 came, and men tried to build this huge city, you know what God did? He came down and He scattered them. So I think it can be said that God likes the country rather than the city too. At least that's my interpretation. This is my message. Y'all let me preach it, okay? But anyway, one of the most interesting studies in the Bible from my standpoint is that it is the Garden of Eden. Because you and I have a lot of questions that are surrounding the Garden of Eden, like, what was it like? What did the grass look like? What did the trees look like? What was the weather like? How did it feel? How long were they there before they sinned? And here's a good one. Did Adam have a belly button? Y'all never thought about that before, have you? Adam wasn't born, he was created. Whatever. Y'all figure that out when you go home. But the Garden of Eden has a lot of questions surrounding it. But you know, today, if you and I are Christians, we have something ingrained in us through the Holy Spirit of God that He has given us a longing, a desire, and the book of Romans calls it a groaning to get back to the Garden of Eden. We have a groaning to get back to where we're just enjoying perfection with a perfect Creator and in a perfect body. We all have that desire to be in the garden. And the good news today is this. The Bible starts out with man walking with God in a garden. And the Bible is going to end with man walking with God in a garden. You know that? The Bible says the New Jerusalem, it has this. It's a nice country, I'm telling you. Revelation 22, listen to it. New Jerusalem has a pure river of the water of life. Jimmy, you like to fish? That's going to be nice fishing right there. Clear as crystal proceeding out of the throne. And then listen to this. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of it was there the tree of life. So in the new heavens and the new earth, there's going to be a perfect crystal clear river. And on either side of it, there is the tree of life. So we all have a desire to go and see what the Garden of Eden is like. If we're Christians, we've been saved today, we're going to see exactly what it was like. And I'm thankful today that we are going to paradise. And we're going to enjoy perfect fellowship with our God for all of eternity in the garden of the Lord. That is an awesome hope that we have today. But you know, I do want us to consider this about the garden of the Lord. In the book of Genesis, you know, God gave Adam and Eve a garden. And their only responsibility was to take care of this garden. Now, Brother Johnny, do you want to talk about the easiest job planet Earth has ever seen? Y'all may think I have an easy job. Some of y'all might have easy jobs, but Adam and Eve had the easiest job there could have ever been. Take care of a perfect garden where there would be perfect weather and no scavengers would ever come and pluck off their tomatoes. Right? It was going to be perfect. But you know what they did? They messed it up. Isaiah chapter number 5, here's another interesting thing. You come to the Old Testament under the law. Isaiah 5 says God gave the nation of Israel here a vineyard or a garden. Do you know their only responsibility was to take care of this garden? To make sure it brought forth grapes? But you know what God said? You brought forth wild grapes. You messed it up once again. And I'm here to tell you this morning, in the Garden of Eden, God gave them a responsibility. In the Old Testament, He gave them a responsibility. Take care of the garden. And I'm a firm believer today that God has given you and I a garden to take care of. And our only responsibility, really, once we become Christians, is to take care of this garden and make sure it brings forth fruit. So today, you may not be a gardener, but you're going to walk out realizing you've got a garden to take care of. So you're going to have to become a gardener. So today I want to consider that text, the garden of the Lord and the garden that you and I are supposed to take care of. Now I want you to listen to this. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So God tells us this, if we are going to understand the Bible, we're going to have to make the right divisions. We're going to have to make the right divisions in the Bible. Now obviously this book called the Bible that I hold in my hand, it is one book. But it has certain sections in it, doesn't it? The obvious sections are the Old Testament and the New Testament. But within the Old Testament and within the New Testament are certain divisions that you have to make. And those divisions are often called dispensations. They're called dispensations. Now I want you to know this. A dispensation is this. I defined it for you. A dispensation is a specific period of time during which God deals with man in a certain way. Now I'm about to blow some of you's mind this morning. What that basically means is this. God deals with us differently depending on which age we're living in. So depending on which time period you are living in, God is going to deal with us differently. Now I know that sounds very weird to what we've heard our whole entire life, but it should be obvious to us that that's the case. Because God obviously deals differently with us today in the New Testament than He dealt with people in the Old Testament. Because you see, God no longer commands us to take a sacrifice to the temple and kill it every single day, does He? God no longer commands us to stone somebody who commits adultery like He did in the Old Testament. And you haven't seen God rain down fire and brimstone from heaven in a long time, have you? Can I tell you, if He was still doing that, California and Las Vegas would be gone a long time ago. Because that it's exactly like Sodom. The reason He hadn't done that is because we are living in a different age, a different time, to where God deals differently with the world. So that's basically what this teaching of dispensations means. It is a specific period of time marked off where God deals with men in a certain way. Now, there are seven of them within the Old Testament and the New Testament, but I'm only going to give you three of them today that I want you to know, okay? So the first dispensation that you must realize is the time period called paradise. All right, paradise. That goes from Genesis chapter number 1 to Genesis chapter number 2. Now, this was when God dealt with man face to face, because there was no barrier of sin. Because there was no sin, everything was perfect, God could deal with mankind face to face. Now, obviously, that age ended when Adam sinned and God could no longer be together with sin. All right? So God no longer communicates or is with people face to face in presence. That's the first one. The next one that I want you to see is this. The dispensation that we call the law. We've been talking about it a little bit on Wednesday nights. Now, this one is a long one. This one extends from Exodus chapter 19 until Matthew chapter number 27. Or you could say from Mount Sinai to Mount Calvary. You see, this was when God dealt with man according to the law. And this age ended when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, because in the New Testament, Paul tells us we are no longer under the law, but under grace. So that age ended when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified there. And that entered us into a brand new time period in which we call grace. The age of grace is the one you and I are living in today. And that goes from Matthew 28 until one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Revelation 19, when Jesus comes back. So from resurrection to the return of Christ. Now, this is the age in which you and I are living today, the age called grace. And that is why God really is no longer, like He did in the Old Testament, raining down fire and brimstone on California and Las Vegas, because we're just living in a different time. I'm not telling you judgment's not coming to California, but it's going to come when we get outside the age of grace. All right? That might be a little bit confusing to a lot of people. But I do want you to know this, okay? Those are the three ages, the three time periods. Paradise, law, and grace. Now, what this does not mean is this. Under the age called the law, it does not mean people were saved because they kept the law. And under the age called grace, now people are saved by God's grace. No, people have always been saved and got to heaven one way, by the grace of God. This simply means under the law, God gave man different responsibilities and He dealt with them in a different way than He does in the age called grace. So those are the three ages that I want you to understand today, and we're about to get into why that matters. Because as I was studying those three ages, those three time periods, three different times, you'll realize each age is different. You'll realize that each people in those ages are different. You've got Adam and Eve, the nation of Israel, and then under grace, you've got the church. God deals differently with each one of those people. But there is something, Brother Johnny, that's the same in every single one of them. And it is this fact that there is a garden in each age. There is a garden in each one. Remember, in paradise, God gave Adam and Eve the Garden of Eden. He said, listen, all you have to do is take care of it. Make sure it brings forth fruit, tend to it, and keep it. It's the only thing you have to do. Be responsible for the garden I gave you. Under this dispensation called the law, that's Isaiah chapter number 5. You're going to find out something here. God also gave them a vineyard to take care of. It is really a spiritual vineyard. And I want you to see three things that He did with this vineyard. Okay, number one. Verse number 2, it says this. It said the first thing God did was He gathered out the stones. If you were here last week, we talked about if you want to have a garden that has fruit, tomatoes, plants, flowers, anything, there's one thing you can't have, and that is hard ground, right? If you want to grow a garden, if you want to have a garden, you cannot have hard ground. It must be soft. So when God is preparing this vineyard, the thing He has to do is He has to gather out the hard ground. He has to gather out the stones so He can have this vineyard here. Okay. The next thing He does is He planted, the Bible says, the choicest vine. He put a perfect vine here in this vineyard. And the third thing He did was He built a wine press right in the middle of this vineyard. You say, now, what in the world does any of that have to matter with us? Because I tell you this, God gave them a vineyard under the law. He gave the nation of Israel a garden, a vineyard that they needed to take care of. And I'm here to tell you today, God has given every single person in here, if you are born again, He has given us a garden that we need to take care of as well. In this dispensation called grace, we have a garden. Now, this garden is not in the middle of New York. It's not in your backyard. Anybody want to guess where this garden is? There you go. Always look at Johnny. Johnny knows where this garden is. This garden is not on the outside. This garden has now been placed on the inside. This garden is within you and me that we are to take care of. And I tell you that to tell you this. The same thing God did with this vineyard, with this garden in Isaiah, I am telling you it is the exact same thing He has done right here for us who are Christians. All right? The first thing it says was He gathered out the stones. He gathered out the stones. Did you know He did that within us? Look at this. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. He says, when you're born again, this is what I'm going to do for you. A new heart will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. In other words, I'm going to take out that hard heart that you have, and I'm going to give you a brand new heart, Brother Johnny. Did you know that's exactly what happened when we got born again? The great physician's hand, invisible hand, came on the inside of us. He removed our old heart that only had the desire to sin, to do evil, and only had the desire to do that which is against God. But when we got born again, God did a surgery. He came in, He took out our hard heart, and He put in a brand new heart. A heart that now has the desire to serve Him. See, we may not always serve Him, but that new heart, can I tell you, it has a desire to serve Him. That's what happens when we get born again. That is the doctrine of regeneration. God takes out our old heart and puts in a brand new heart through the great physician's touch. Now, the next thing I want you to see is this. Not only did He gather out the stones, but did you know He also planted a vine in us? Remember it said He gathered out the stones, but He also planted the choicest, the best vine He could find? Did you know God planted a vine in us? John 15, verse number 5. I am the vine. That's what Jesus says. And you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So when you and I got born again, God literally planted the Lord Jesus Christ on the inside of us. Now, when you walk out today, and if you were to look across the street, you're going to see a lot of trees over there across the street. But the only thing you're going to see on those trees, Brother Johnny, are the branches and the leaves coming off those branches. What you do not see is there is something on the inside of that branch called the vine. And the only reason those branches have leaves coming out of them is because the vine is giving them the power to produce those leaves. And did you know it is the exact same thing with you and me? When people look at us and they may look at us and say, boy, that's a nice woman over there. That's a godly man over there. That's a happy man over there. The only reason we can be godly, happy, kind, or whatever is because they don't realize there's somebody living on the inside of us that's producing all of that through us. See, that is the vine that produces His very character in us. So He planted the choicest vine in us. Not only did He take out the stones, plant the vine, but He also, if you remember number 3, it says He made a wine press therein. Some of y'all heathens are going to be excited about that. He made a wine press and He dug out a wine press within us. Now most of you know what a wine press is. Some of you might have one in your backyard. I don't know. I'm not here to judge. But a wine press, for a very broad definition, it is a place used to extract juice from the grapes in order to make wine. That's basically all it is. And what's interesting about this is if you were to travel to the city of Jerusalem right now, and if you were to go to the traditional site to where Jesus was buried and Jesus rose again and now it is an empty tomb, about 20 feet from that traditional site of the empty tomb is a place called the wine press that has been there for thousands of years. So the place where Jesus rose from the dead, you can look it up, it's literally a garden. The garden tomb is what they call it. And it has a wine press right in the middle of it, because more than likely that's exactly what it might have been a few thousand years ago. But like I said, a wine press is simply this. It is a place, listen, where fruit goes and it comes out as something useful. That's basically all it is. A place where your fruit goes and it's going to come out as something that can be of use. Now, did you know God did the exact same thing within you and within me? He made a wine press in us to where fruit can come and where fruit can come out to be something useful. You say, what in the world are you talking about? When we got saved, the Bible says God planted the Holy Spirit within us. And did you know coming with the Holy Spirit are the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that He wants to come out of us? So the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 says, is this. It is love, joy, peace, and He names about 6 other things there. So God has literally, when we got born again, He has put a garden on the inside of us. In gathering out the stones, putting in a new heart, putting in the vine, and literally putting in fruit that He wants to come out. So God gave Adam and Eve a garden and said, take care of it. God gave the nation of Israel this vineyard garden and said, listen, take care of it. God has now given you and I a garden on the midst of us. And you know what He said? Take care of it. Be responsible for your garden and make sure it is bringing forth fruit. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. John 15, verse number 16. He said, your job is to go and bring forth fruit. John 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. A way to give glory to God is to bring forth much fruit out of our garden. That is a way in which God receives glory from your life and from my life, is that we bear much fruit. Now you're sitting here asking me, well, what are you talking about? Some apples, some grapes, some strawberries, you know? Well, what kind of fruit are you talking about? Well, Galatians 5 tells us exactly what fruit He's talking about. Look at those first 3. Love, joy, and peace. Now, if you were to take a poll all across this world, those are some of the 3 top things people say I'm searching for. I'm searching for love. Man, I just want joy. And they can also say, as all of us say, we just need some peace. Right? Those are 3 things that literally the entire world has spent their whole lives throughout all the ages trying to pursue: love, joy, and peace. But you know what? God says that's already on the inside of you. That is already there. And those 3 things are things that give glory to God. Love. Love. Did you know God wants us to be loving people? Do you know that? I believe the greatest Christian quality is love. Jesus said, herein will the world know that you're my disciples and that you can't stand one another. Right. That's what he said, wasn't it? If that's your Bible, bring it up here, we'll burn it. And the world will know you're my disciples and that you have love one for another. Because in the Lord Jesus Christ, really His definition is love. Joy. He wants us to have joy. I don't know if anybody has ever told you this, but God wants you to be happy. Has anybody ever told you this? I'll never forget. I was listening to some bozo preach God's Word. And he said, Jesus, when he was walking around on planet Earth, I highly doubt he ever smiled one time. And I said, X. He didn't smile. How can he not smile when he's looking at the little children and say, let them come to me. Let them come to me. Right? Can you imagine that? Oh, yeah. Jesus never smiled. Okay. Do you know God does not get glory when we're mopey all the time? Praise the Lord, it's Sunday again. Praise God. You know, when we're down all the time, and I realize we get down, we can't help that. That is the nature of this world. But when we are literally mopey 24/7, and you have a shirt on that says Hardin Community Baptist Church, and you go to the restaurant and you're walking in like this, people are going to say, I ain't going to that church. I don't know what he's preaching over there, but they're miserable. Right? The world does not want us to, if we're mopey, the world is going to look at us, realize we're Christians, and say, I don't want what they have. If it makes them miserable, if it makes them look like that, I don't need this Jesus thing. Right? One of the greatest things you and I can do is have joy. Joy. You say, should I pursue joy? Well, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. That means obey that commandment and rejoice in the Lord always. It's not just something that we have, it's something that we do. We rejoice and we have joy in the Lord. The next one there is peace. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Now, the world, that if I could say number one, that is the number one thing the world is looking for right now, is peace. And I understand all these tactics, trials, nations are coming to say, if we'll just stop fighting, we can bring peace. Oh yeah, that's happened before, hasn't it? The only way peace is coming to this world is when the Prince of Peace comes back. And He's going to bring peace. But let me say this. We all know what it's like to be anxious. We all know what it's like to worry, I mean, constantly. Am I right, Brother Clyde? Amen. We all know what it's like to wake up and worry and go to sleep and still worry. And the world does that. It does that too. Literally everybody in the world has something that they worry about almost day in and day out. And they're steady searching for peace. And let me tell you the three places people go to find peace more than anything. The bar, the bed, and the ball game. Those are three things that have taken over America. The bar, the bed, and the ball game. And people literally go there just to find peace for a little bit. And let me tell you, you can find peace in all three of those things. You can. But it'll only last as long as that lasts. When you leave the bar, say bye to peace too. When you leave the bed, say bye to peace there too. And when you leave the ball game, you're going to have to go right back to your problem, so peace is going to go right back with you. Your worry is going to be there. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm come that you might have peace. And I believe this in all of my heart, man. When God sent His Son Jesus 2,000 years ago, that was the solution to our peace. You cannot have peace unless you have Jesus living on the inside of you. The other fruits of the Spirit, I don't have them up there, but I want to read them to you. So I want to ask you, do you have these things in your life? Because these are things that in your character, in your life, they give glory to God. Galatians 5:22, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The next one is long suffering. Now, yeah. We could all resound that. Woo! That word means patience. Y'all getting impatient right now because y'all ready to leave. Yeah. Think about it. We don't have patience. We don't have it. We go in the drive-thru, and if we have to wait more than 3 minutes, I'm ready to honk the horn. I mean, we went to Chick-fil-A the other day, and there was a woman in front of us, and I swear she had to order the whole menu. And Monica was beside me just ready to blast that horn. I said, hold on. Just let them be. You know? And we got up to the window, and the girl hands out, and it wasn't nothing but a sweet tea. And she drove off. Monica said, follow her, follow her. Right? You kidding me? You're going to take 15 minutes, and you're going to order a sweet tea. Sitting here trying to get my sandwich. Patience. I ain't got time for patience when it comes to a drive-thru. All right? That's why you have a drive-thru. But anyway, patience is something that, that word long-suffering, it means you put up with one another too, doesn't it? You put up with one another. And that's honestly something God has called us to do, is to forbear or forgive one another. The next one is gentleness. The next one is goodness. The next one is meekness or humility. And the next one is what the King James calls temperance, but that is the same thing as self-control. So those are nine things in which God wants to produce in us and through us. So I'm going to read these nine to you again. And as I say them, I want you to hammer down on the one that sticks with you that you want more of. Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Now I ask you this. Let's say you're sad today. Say, I need more joy in my life. I need more joy in my life. Do you know what this verse tells us? It doesn't tell us that we need to go out and pursue joy. It doesn't say go out and do everything you can to be happy. It says this, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Do you know what that means? Joy is not something we can reach out and grab. Joy is not something that I can go to the baseball game and just reach out and grab it and I'll have it. Joy is something that is in here that comes out. So it's not something that I get, it's something that I have. And the Bible says if we'll simply walk in the Spirit, be close to God, then He'll produce that in us and through us. That's the amazing thing about the Christian life, is He hadn't called us to go and pursue all these things. He's called us to just trust Him and He'll make those things through us. Love, joy, and peace. Those are nine Christ-like qualities. To where He says, if you'll just take care of your garden, I'll make sure those nine things come up. And other people will be able to look at them, and other people will be able to see that person, there's something different about them. There's something different about you when you go to work and you're happier than everybody else. There's something different about you when you go to school and for some reason you love that kid that nobody else loves. See, that's what the love of God does. It doesn't love people who are lovable. It loves people who are unlovable. That's what love is. Not just loving those people who are easy to love. Loving those people who are hard to love. And it's not just joy when everything's going good. It's joy when there ain't nothing going good. And it's not just peace when you look around and say, man, life is awesome right now. It's peace when you look around and say, why isn't anything going right? But there's a God who's living on the inside of you in the Holy Spirit who even in the midst of those times can give you peace. He can give you peace. And there's so many people today, and I'm done. There's so many people today looking for those things. But can I tell you, God has placed a garden within us. He's taken out our old heart, given us a brand new heart. He has put the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, in us, and He has literally put the fruit on the inside of us through the Holy Spirit. The only thing He asked us to do is take care of our garden. Make sure you water it with this book. Make sure you pull out the weeds when they start popping up. Make sure you take care of your garden. Because if you don't, it can get hard again, like we talked about last week. The Word of God is something that keeps your garden soft all week. So I invite you this week. God has given you and I this garden to take care of. And I want you to think about it. And I want you to read that as you leave. Are those 9 things coming out of me? Do I have joy, peace, love for others? Am I patient with other people? Am I faithful to what God has told me to be faithful to? Do I have self-control when I walk by the cabinet and there's a big old Snickers bar? Do I have these things? If not, ask God to give you these things. And I guarantee you He will. And He'll tell you what it takes to take care of your garden. Musicians, you can come up. Father, we want to come to You this morning and we want to thank You so much. Lord, that You said that You have literally done everything in our garden. Lord, You've given us a new heart. You've put Jesus on the inside of us. You've given us the Holy Spirit. Lord, You have literally given us all things that we need for life and godliness. The only thing You asked us to do is be faithful to You. Be faithful to what You have given us and grow in our relationship with You. So, Father, I just pray for each person right now that are that's searching for joy in the midst of their sadness, in the midst of their pain. Lord, I pray that You would fill them with the joy of the Lord. And, Lord, there's so many today that are experiencing problems and heartaches and trials right now, God. And the only thing that they want right now is just a little bit of peace. And, God, today I pray that You would show them that You have the peace that they're looking for if they'll just come to You and give it to You. Lord, we thank You so much for all You've done for us. Thank You for the salvation that You've provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank You for the Word of God that is our meat every time we come to it. We love it and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.